As I said, today is the conclusion of our six-part series on the book of Colossians, and we're going to be in chapter 3, and right now I'm beginning in verse 12 of chapter 3, something we just read. Here's what Paul said: "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Whenever you see the word "therefore," you should ask yourself, what? What is it there for? And here's the answer. Paul had just said in verse 5 of chapter 3 that we are to put to death our earthly nature. And then he listed some nasty things that are in all of us. They are like the shingles virus, you know. If you've ever had chicken pox, that virus is there and you never know when it might break out. If you are a sinner, if you have ever sinned, and sin is in you, and you will never know when it's going to break out. It could happen to each and every one of you just like that shingles. The potential is there, therefore, in each of us for sexual immorality and impurity and lust and evil desires and greed. My, me, Lord? Yes, you. Paul had a way of holding up this terrible mirror and making me look deeply into it so that I could see more of myself. I don't like it. Get rid of it. I don't like it. He said, see all that stuff inside of you? Because of that stuff, the wrath of God is coming. That's what he said. Well, many of us might say that we really don't have anything to worry about because we are not sexually immoral. And we've pretty much gotten over this greed thing. But Paul does not let us off the hook. He shines a brighter light on the stuff so that we can see even more deeply into that confounded mirror. In verse 8, he added some more nasties. He said, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Now he's meddling. I really don't like it. Turn that light off, Paul. Get rid of that confounded mirror. I do not want to see more deeply into myself. Thank you very much. But no, Paul threw another nasty. Do not lie to one another, he said. And he sums it up this way. He says, you are all in the same boat. You over here on this side, you're in the same boat with these people over here on this side. You know where I am? I'm high above you all and removed. No. We're all in the same boat. There's no Greek. There's no Jew. There's no male. There's no female. There's no Republican. There's no Democrat. There's no Southern Baptist or everybody else. I threw that in for RB's sake. I'm sorry he wasn't here for me to rib him today. Paul's ultimate statement arrives in verse 11. Christ is all. And is in all. Therefore, that's what it's there for. That's what the therefore is there for. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I love this. The word that he used for clothe, the verb clothe yourself, literally carries with it the sense of sinking into the garment. Have you ever seen those advertisements for those wonderful fleece blankets that you can put around yourself? They have sleeves and pockets, and some of you probably have them, and you'll probably start enjoying them pretty soon when you get the fires in the fireplace. They're so cuddly and so wonderful. I remember once I was shopping for a new sport coat. I was looking for a conservative color sport coat, and I tried on a number of them, and I liked what I was experiencing. But then the salesman said, I have one other one over here that I want you to try on. And he pointed to it, And it was kind of, it was a red color that was a little bit out there. And I thought, that's not my color. I don't want that sport coat. He said, just don't worry about the color. Just try it on. And so I slipped my arms into the sleeves of this sport coat, and immediately I began to sense the fabric of that coat. And even the lining kind of spoke to me. And it fit so well. It felt so good. And I just sank into this sport coat. And guess what I did? I bought that sport coat. I forgot all of the conservative ones. I bought the one that I was a little bit embarrassed to wear, but it felt so good. Well, that is the essence of what Paul is saying. Sink into this compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Get rid of those old clothes, he said. They are nasty. They don't fit you anymore anyway, because Christ is all and is in all. Maybe we need to clean out our closets. No, strike the word maybe. Let's think this way. Let's clean out our closets. Here's something important to notice. All those new clothes that Paul said that we're supposed to put on, compassion, kindness, and so on, they all have to do with how we relate to one another. Christianity is, first of all, a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ. But it's not just that. Christianity is God's divine plan for how you and I are to relate to one another with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. Five virtues. These five virtues can revolutionize you. They can make you into a new woman, a new man. They can heal any negative attitudes that you may have lingering in there. They can open doors for healthy relationships with other people. For instance, let's take compassion. Why did Paul have to talk about these things to the Colossians? Because he knew they were struggling with them. In terms of compassion, all of the sick among the people in Colossians were simply sent away. If there were elderly among them, there were no provisions to take care of them unless the family members did it. If anyone had a mental disorder, they were treated very harshly. Women had no rights, none. And serving one another was not even a concept. Remember this, the world measures a man by how many people serve him. Heaven measures a man by how many people he serves. What about kindness? The Colossians knew about kindness, but even though it was sometimes evident among them, it wasn't always great. The biblical historian Josephus described Isaac in the Bible as a man who would dig wells. That's a job. Would dig wells, and then he would give them away to other people because he did not want to fight about it. He was kind. Jesus showed kindness. Remember the woman who was caught in sin. Jesus showed her kindness. Remember this. One kind act from you will speak more about God than 1,000 sermons from me. Kindness. What about humility? That was actually frowned upon in Colossae. There was not even a word for humility in the Greek language. How can we not be humble when we acknowledge that we are the creatures and he is the creator. And just imagine how much humility it required for a free man to allow a slave to lead his little church. Or for a cultured person to sit beside a Scythian or a barbarian. Remember this, the moment that you think you have gained humility is the moment you have lost it. Compassion, kindness, humility, and then Paul added gentleness. The Greeks did not prize gentleness in a real man. They considered that a weakness, and he was a pansy. The truth is that true gentleness manifested in a person is because that person has self-control and God is actually the one controlling that person. A person with godly gentleness can be angry at the right time and never angry at the wrong time. Remember this, there is nothing stronger than gentleness. And the fifth one, it was patience. Now you know this. Patience with one's fellow man can be very difficult. How do you respond to people that upset you? A few years ago, I was going through some tough things with some people, and I was feeling pretty down, and somebody gave me a present. I brought it today. This present is from the movie The Lion King. In The Lion King, one of the villains was Scar. Scar was a nasty lion. And this is one of the things he said in the movie.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
I loved that button. How do you respond to people when you think they're idiots? Do you have idiots in your life? They're like flies that get in, you know, and you can't find it. You need to swipe fly swatter. They're pests. How do you respond when you think people are idiots? Even if others seem foolish and unteachable at times, a patient person does not become cynical. A patient person does not try to put them down. If they insult you, if they do things to treat you unkindly, patience keeps you from becoming bitter. And forgiveness helps you to be godly. Patience, remember this, patience is the ability to put up with people that you would rather put down. Now imagine for a moment the perfect pastor, filled with compassion, kind, humble, gentle, and patient. And then wait for me to retire and you go look for that person. Paul went on from there. Verse 13, he added, bear with each other. Now there are two ways to look at that. One is the negative and one is the positive. The negative way is this, tolerate one another. Just tolerate one another. Do you have people in your life who are difficult to tolerate? Being there with them is more a matter of endurance than it is endearment. Oh, I can see you right. I see some of you right now. Your eyes are wandering side to side and you're kind of saying, yeah, you're thinking of people, aren't you? I can see it. Well, the positive way of seeing bearing with one another is to offer and give care to those people that are hard to tolerate. Some wise person wrote this, listen. When we honestly ask ourselves which persons in our lives mean the most to us, we often find that it is not those who give us much advice or solutions or cures. Rather, It is those who instead choose to share our pain and touch our wounds with a gentle and a tender hand. The friend who can be silent with us in a moment of despair or confusion, who can stay with us in our hour of grief or bereavement, who can face with us the reality of our powerlessness. That is the friend who truly cares. Verse 13 continues, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's a conditional statement. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's right out of the Lord's Prayer. It's the only petition in the Lord's Prayer that has a condition. Forgive us our sins, Lord, as we forgive others. In the 1600s, when the British came to the east coast of our country, they encountered Native Americans. And you know the history. Some of it is good and some of it is not so good. Some of it's bad, actually. But when those happened, those English settlers described a beautiful custom that they witnessed among those Native Americans. And they wrote about it, and it was described of the Iroquois, it was described of the Mohawks, and it was described of the Cherokees. It seemed that whenever the Native Americans decided to forgive one another and stop fighting, they had a ceremony. And at the ceremony, they dug a hole in the ground. And then they put their hatchets in that hole and covered them up. They buried their weapons. That is the origin of the expression, bury the hatchet. It became synonymous with forgiving one another. Whatever grievances you may have with anyone else, bury the hatchet. The problem, of course, is that many of us tend to bury the hatchet, but we leave the handle sticking up out of the ground so that we can grab it again just as soon as we need it. Jesus and Paul said, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. That is a garment that we should sink into and wear and cherish. Maybe some of us need to clean out our closets. Finally, we come to verse 14. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect unity. How many virtues has Paul listed for us so far in this passage? Count them with me. Okay, count. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness. How many? Seven. The number for perfection in the Bible. Seven. Then he wraps all seven of them in the warmest, fuzziest garment of all. Love. Love. Over all these virtues, he said, put on love. The word over all these virtues, is an NIV translation. In the King James and in the English Standard Version and others, the word is above. Above all these virtues, put on love. That's very consistent with what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you remember that. He said, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. What event in life makes people think about love more than any other? For most people, it is probably the wedding ceremony. That event casts a spotlight on two individuals who come together to be one. But the context of 1 Corinthians 13 is not a wedding ceremony. The context of that verse is Christian fellowship, the body of Christ, the church, us. That's the context. And over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So what is our ultimate goal? Is it love? No. Our goal is unity. Love is one of the means to reach that goal of unity. There can be no unity with only one person. The starting place for unity is to have at least two people. How hard is it to have unity with just two? Now add a third. How much harder is that? Now add another one and another one. And look around this room. I don't know how many people are here, but multiply the numbers that you're thinking by all the people in this room. Are you looking? Look around. Look around. How much more difficult is it to be unified with all of these idiots around you? We need to clean out our closets. We need to fill them with seven virtues. And then we need to put them on. We need to wear them. And then we need to cover all of them up with that wonderful garment of love. So let me paraphrase it this way. And above all these virtues, put on Jesus Christ, who binds all things together in a unity that has matured to the level that he planned and designed from the very beginning. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. There is only one God, and there is only one King. There is only one body. That is why we can sing. Would you take hands? And would you sing it with me? Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. Heavenly Father, by the grace of Jesus Christ, bind us together in love. Through the gifts of your Holy Spirit, Lord, bind us together with love. And may we be an example to other Christians, and especially to those who do not know you, what it means to put on the garment of love. In Jesus' name, amen.